Well, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, it is true. You get me this morning. Once again, I can see the great joy on your face. I'm excited. I'm very excited. Always excited when I get to stand before you and share with you what God has placed on my heart. Unlike Father Looker last week, who lamented before us that it had been 4 weeks since he had preached, and he gets this scripture about gloom and doom and all this kind of stuff. It was a tough one. He did a tremendous job on it. I did not envy his position. God really smiled on me. I guess maybe, Scott, he loves me better than he does you. I don't know. But the truth is, as we were texting back and forth this week, he said that that God had confidence that he could preach the hard ones and he need to lob me softballs. So he, which was well played, Scott. Well played. For those who were here last week, something happened in our service that many of you here weren't aware of how profound it was. There were a few of us that were. The ones that were the ones who were here for Fusion Saturday night. Earl Shemp gave a word at the end of praise and worship last week. And he just, out of seemingly left field to where the service was going, he spoke to the spirit of fear. And he spoke that God had broken the spirit of fear over us, over his family. Do you remember those that were here? Do you remember Earl's word that way? What Earl did not know, because Earl was not here for Fusion, nor was it recorded, so it was definitely a God thing. Fusion's focus was free from fear. And I had spoken on fear. And I was just blown away. It was almost like Earl prophetically gave the cliff notes to my message. And for the few that were here, I see you shaking your head. Yes, you know that was the case. I'm not making this up. I'm not reaching and trying to pull it all together. It was for real. And then God, who I believe gives us our readings every week, gives me the one time every 3 years, I guess, is as things come up, gives me my life scripture to preach on today. Thank you, my brother, those who have been around me for a while know that Psalm 46, one of the very few passages of Scripture, the entire chapter that in King James Version I can recite front back, because for men's prayer for the many, many years, they heard it a lot. But it is such a profound promise to me that I need in my life. It is one that I can fall back on when I don't know what else to do. God is my refuge and strength. A very present, not far off, not pie in the sky, not a promise someday, somehow, but present. He is a very present help in trouble. The psalmist declares that line. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then he declares this, therefore, I will not fear. I think God wants to talk to us about fear. I think there's been a constant theme running through lately. And some of you, I know, you don't have fears. Not defined as real gut-wrenching, paralyzing fear. But there are many things that we have concerns with, that we are troubled over, that we don't know what to do with, and when we allow them, they consume our thoughts. They become what we think about all day long. They become what we worry about all day long. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder that this happens to us. We are saturated daily with things to be afraid of. Hold on to your seats. Father Scott did a PowerPoint presentation just to give you an idea of recent headlines. Hang on, me, not him, me. Recent headlines. If you're worried about what, if you're wondering what is there to fear, let's hit the first one. Wildfires destroying parts of our nation. Now, these are real things that are happening, and I'm not trying to make light of them, but I want you to know what you get into yourself every day when you go online, when you pick up the newspaper, you turn on the news. Next. Oh, my goodness, flooding. There is flooding in Louisiana. We need to be praying for those people. That's horrible. But yet it's consuming our thoughts. Now you got fire over here. You got flooding over here. What else do we have? Oh my goodness, they had to update the hurricane prediction for this year. But you know, as long as I've been following hurricane predictions in recent memory, I have never known them to update before the season's in full. You know, they go back and say, oh, we were wrong. But this year they decided to update it and give us more storms than they originally thought we were going to have. All while we have the image of the flooding happening in Louisiana. Are you with me? These things start going into our brain. What else do we need to worry about? Oh my goodness, there's Zika virus this year. There's Zika disease. Mosquitoes. We have mosquitoes in Florida, by the way. And so these things are coming at us. These images are coming at us. I don't know. Some of you might have already begun to take precautions. It's wise. It's wise. I'm not trying to make light of the news. Trust me. What I'm trying to do is show how we are assaulted with the opportunity to be scared every day. Next. Oh my goodness. Can't talk about headlines without talking about terrorist attacks. And this bombing and this shooter and that shooter. And how there's this group of people out there. They want to kill us. The news tells us all the time. Talk radio tells us all the time. We're their enemy. They're at war with us. We're at war with them. They want to kill us. What else? My goodness, we have civil disrest. We have riots. We have people in the street bombing things and burning things and robbing things because of injustices that they perceive. But yet, we've had some of those things happen here, not to the degree that they've happened in Ferguson or in Milwaukee currently. But don't you know that's in the back of your mind all the time? It is mine. If it's not in yours, well, God bless you. But we're getting this all the time. It's coming at us. The world, the spirit of the world, wants you to be fearful. What else can we be fearful of? You can't go have fun anymore without being fearful. There were 3 deaths this year at amusement parks, one just recently published. Now we got to be scared of going to an amusement park. And probably one of the biggest fears we're facing in this country right now is, I'm sorry, one more. I had another. This just happened. No, go back. I'm sorry. Go back. This just happened to the dog one. This just happened yesterday. This poor man was in his yard and dogs came into his yard and killed him. I mean, it's horrible. The things that are happening around us. And they're real. They're real. And then the biggest thing we have to worry about on a lot is, and I just thought this was hilarious, y'all. Do not take an endorsement one side or the other. I hope you know which side I'm on. As if you need any more reason to fear Hillary. It's right up there. There are people who are afraid of her being our president. And there are just as many people afraid for reasons why the markets fear a Trump presidency. The fear is the main thing. Oh, I would be really afraid if she or he were our president. They're on both sides. Okay, cut that off, Michelle. Thank you. But what does the psalmist say about our fears? He says, therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear. Now, it's easy to say, I will not fear. It's a whole nother thing not to do it. It's easy to say it. But it's a whole nother thing to do it. For some of us, the way we deal with our fears is we say we don't have any. But to those of you who don't have fears, again, I say you have concerns, you have worries, and you have struggles. Maybe that's easier for you to process what God is trying to say. What about all these natural disasters? What about the flooding? What about the... No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Yes, the psalm, please. What about all these natural disasters? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Next. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. It sounds like some natural disaster to me going on. It sounds like a volcano erupting. It sounds like a flood. It sounds like a hurricane, a tsunami. You name it. Well, something's going on in the earth right here. And the psalmist is saying, I'm not going to fear in the midst of this natural disaster. Because God is my refuge and strength. Next slide. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with its swelling. Next. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Why is that important? Because that's our refuge. God is our refuge. So if you're in God, if God is your refuge, you are in the holy place. And there's a river there whose streams... Notice the contrast. In the one side, we got the waters roaring and foaming. And here we get a nice stream, just a real calm stream that makes glad the city of God. Next slide. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn. The promise of God's deliverance to those who are dwelling in his midst. God is my refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Now what about all this other stuff? I don't think we went there, did we, Michelle? What's the next one? Oh, the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melts. Further on, we didn't read it today, but further on in the Psalms, it says, he breaks the bow and shatters the shields. He burns their spears, burns their shields, shatters the spears and burns their shields with fire. When nations are in uproar, when there's wars and rumors and wars, and all these things that are coming at us, God just lifts his voice and they are gone. They are defeated. That's the God that we serve. Psalm 121 says, I lift up, I know Ed knows it right up. Say it, Ed. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The first thing I notice when I read this is the psalmist is lifting his eyes up from the hills. His eyes were on the hills, maybe in the first place, because he had to pass through them. Because they represented a struggle. They represented the trouble. They represented the natural disaster. They represented the fear, if you will. But when we lift our eyes over that, and we lift our eyes to the Lord, we see where our help comes from. And as Ed just, I love the way he puts it. And oh, by the way, he's the maker of heaven and earth. There is nothing in this world or the other world, that God did not make. Everything is under his feet. Everything. Every concern, every issue, every trouble, every struggle is ultimately under his feet. What is fear? Fear is a distressing feeling of impending peril. That's the way I say it, but yeah, peril. Thank you, teacher. By impending danger, evil, pain, whether the threat, this is Webster's, not me, whether the threat is real or imagined. Have you ever... We've all faced real deals. We've all faced really concerning issues and problems and concerns. We all know what that is. But there's also a lot of times we worry, we're afraid, we're concerned, we're scared over something that ends up not coming to fruition. Is it just been me? Or is it okay. So the first thing we understand about fear is it can be real or it can be imagined. So if it's imagined, we can cast it down by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. Because that takes care of the imagination. The Word of God takes care of imagination. If it's real, the God that we serve is bigger than it. So it really doesn't have a consequence to us. Now look, probably the biggest fear we have as people is dying. That's probably our number one biggest fear, is dying. Do you know, my grandfather lived to 99 years old, loved the man dearly. For the last 6 months of his life, his biggest fear was living. He was ready. He was ready. He used to ask us all the time, why? Why is God letting me live so long? Why? What a change happens in our life when we're at peace with who we are and whose we are, and we're ready to go. Everybody in this room has a level of peace about dying because we ultimately know the truth. Death is not the final say-so. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sounds like a win to me. But we worry about who we're going to leave behind. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about the grief that they'll go through for our absence. That's all real. That's all legit. But God gives us a strength and a peace to walk through these things. And He gives us very specific directions in this psalm. I'm going to go to the last slide this time, Michelle, on how to do it. Very specific. Okay, God, give me my marching orders. Be still and know that I am God. What? Come on, God, let's go fight it. Come on, God, let's go change it. Come on, God, let's take over the world. Come on, God, send the lightning. Use me, God. Equip me. I'll go out there and fight the battle. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sounds to me that God wants us to tackle these fears, these concerns, these issues, these worries, these struggles on our knees. Being still before Him. Look, as a husband, as a father, there are things I must do to prepare for my family. There are things I have to be concerned over to work and to make plans. I'm not talking about some, oh, God's got it all under control, so I don't need to worry about anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these moments in our lives where we get consumed with a concern. I'm looking over. Most of us in here are parents. We know what concerns are. We know what struggles are. We thought we had them on our own growing up. But put kids in the mix. We worry about what are they going to do? How are they going to do it? What are they going to be? What didn't I do? What did I do? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? These are all legitimate questions. They're all legitimate concerns. But if you're not being still before the Lord in the midst of that, and praying for those circumstances, you're missing the most valuable weapon we have against them. There is nothing that I can say to any of my sons that will change them one iota. I've already said it all. I've already done it all. For better or for worse, it's all been done. But God can still lift His voice. Amen. I want you to hear the hope in this today. I want you to know that God is a very present help in trouble. It doesn't mean give up, but it means get more on your knees. It means give it to the one who can really fix it. Do what you have to do. But trust God that He will lift His voice and the very earth will melt. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.